it's time for our monthly catch-up with RNIB's campaigns team. Costa Asprew and Co. always join us to chat a little bit about some of the current projects and to encourage you to get involved in campaigning. Now, we've got a few topics to chat about today, Costa, and a big one, first of all around National Eye Health Week.
National Eye Health Week promotes the importance of eye health for everyone, but unfortunately we know that delays in eye health appointments are leading to some people experiencing irreversible sight loss, which could have been avoided with timely treatment. Now, Alan, I know you spoke to Helen Lee, our policy and campaigns manager for eye health, earlier about the issue and what needs to change and how people can take action.
One of our focuses for National Eye Health Week is raising the issue about our concerns that people are facing delayed eye care appointments, and what's needed is increased capacity in eye care. So that's the focus. We're really trying to get government to take this issue seriously and take action.
Do we know what is causing these delays or cancellations of appointments?
There are some fantastic treatments out there. As some of your listeners may know, the treatments often require lifelong care. So for conditions like glaucoma, they may need treatment very regularly. For conditions like wet age-related macular degeneration, people need injections and monitoring very regularly over, it can be a whole lifetime, it can be many years. And of course, we have an aging population, and as people get older, there is an increased chance of people having eye conditions. So that combination of factors means there's really increasing demand on eye care services, and there hasn't been an equivalent increase in resources, in staff, in doctors and nurses, in spaces, in all the things that are needed to deliver eye care.
So if individuals are not receiving that support and that care, what impact does that have on them directly?
While thousands of people get excellent eye care, there are small numbers of people, but nevertheless, there are people who, because of the delays they're facing, are experiencing sight loss that is irreversible. It's inexcusable, really. There is the treatment, they are in the system, and it's simply because they are not being prioritised, because they're not having their appointments on time, they're not getting the treatment they need. And in many instances, the treatment is very time critical. People have to get it at the right time.
Presumably then, that could have an impact on someone's sight deteriorating, or perhaps they have to give up work, they lose their independence. So a lot of ripples can come from that.
Absolutely, it really can. People may not be able to drive any longer. They may struggle to do ordinary things. As you say, it can impact on employment. And, you know, it is very shocking knowing that actually in these instances, it's preventable. And there are solutions. And that's what we're asking the government to focus on.
Have you pointed out some of these solutions? Because as you said, this is a capacity issue. And at the end of the day, you know, the buck stops with the government.
RNIB was involved in providing the secretariat to an inquiry that the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Eye Health and Visual Impairment conducted. It was published in June 2018, and it has a 16 recommendations that are supported by patient groups, professional groups across the whole sector to say, look, these are 16 recommendations that if the government implement them, they will increase capacity in the system. What is shocking is that while we know that the government and the NHS is taking on board some of the recommendations, they have not implemented all the recommendations, and we are still waiting for a formal government response to tell us what they're going to do about all 16 recommendations. For individuals who are using eye care services, when their clinician tells them, I need to see you in 6 months or 8 months, they need to pay attention to that time. If you're not getting that appointment on time, please do chase the hospitals. Unfortunately, that is what has to happen for people to be seen on time.
Absolutely, Helen. Some really important information there for people to chase those missed appointments and get involved in the campaign as well. I know, Costa, you'll be giving some contact details a little bit later. But we're moving on to another topic now. This one, again, probably across the UK, this is a problem for many blind and partially sighted people.
Definitely. In many areas, pavement parking can be a problem. We're joined now by our Policy and Campaigns Officer for Inclusive Journeys, Zoe Courtney. Can you explain more about why pavement parking can become such a problem for blind and partially sighted people?
Yeah, so pavement parking is when a vehicle has one or more of its wheels over a pavement. And this can be really difficult because sometimes if the pavement is quite narrow, it can obstruct the area for pedestrians to move around. Also, if you can't see that there is a vehicle on the pavement, you might walk into it and injure yourself. So we have actually had lots of instances of people telling us that it's been damaging their confidence to get around independently. We've also had one particular person getting in touch with us who was visited by the police after colliding with a vehicle parked on a pavement and knocking off the wing mirror. And the police were trying to press criminal charges onto this pedestrian because of the damage to the vehicle. So there's all kinds of issues that pavement parking can incur.
And then if people can't actually pass through the area, if it's too narrow on the pavement, then people presumably have to walk out onto the road and put themselves at risk in that way too.
Yeah, if you're not able to walk along the pavement, particularly with the increase in silent vehicles on the street, so whether that's electric cars or quieter engines or also bicycles, which are really, really hard to hear, having to walk out into an area where cars and vehicles are potentially travelling at up to 30, 40 miles an hour is obviously extremely dangerous.
So it brings us right onto the new report by the Parliamentary Committee and the ban which it's calling for. Can you tell us more about that?
The Parliamentary report, we think, is really good. It's really effective. It's taken evidence from a lot of different sources and it's highlighting that particularly vulnerable pavement users, so whether that's if you're blind or partially sighted, but also if that's if you're travelling with small children in a buggy, if you're a wheelchair user or if you have any other kind of mobility issues, pavement parking can have a really, really bad impact on you. It's increasing people's isolation. It's stopping people from accessing key services and from participating in their local communities. And because of all of these findings, the committee has recommended to the government that a ban across England should be introduced to extend that ban in London.
Okay, so what happens next? Does that mean that we've got a ban coming up?
Unfortunately, it doesn't. When a select committee makes a recommendation, it just means that the government will consider that. It does make it more likely that the government will implement it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that is the case. So there is still some campaigning work that needs to be done to make sure that the government does take this on board.
Right, okay. And then in the meantime, what can people do if pavement parking is a problem in their area?
So if you're able to take a picture or get somebody to take a picture of the instance of pavement parking, that's really helpful because it just builds up some evidence. And of course, contacting local police officers is a great way of getting this on the radar and making local authorities and police aware of the issues that this is causing. And of course, RNIB has got some great resources.
That's right. So we do have our briefings, which are available for download on the website, which give a guide to how people can raise the issue locally. It takes you through some of the laws which apply and how you can gather evidence and raise it locally. And we even have a template letter that people can use to raise the issue with their local police force or local authority.
And if you do want more information, again, Costa, you'll be giving us some contact details a little bit later. But we are going to touch on one particular topic first of all. This is all around website accessibility.
That's right. From the 23rd of September, we have the new public sector website accessibility regulations, which mean that new public sector websites must meet certain international accessibility standards, and that includes central government and local authority websites. For the time being, it's only newer websites, those created since last year, which will be caught by the new regulations. But this is also the beginning of a one-year countdown when both new and old public sector websites will need to meet the accessibility standards. For people who use assistive technology like a screen reader or screen magnifier, the frustration of not being able to use or navigate a website is all too common. A survey of local authority websites in 2017 by a project called Better Connected found that only 60% of UK council websites were accessible to people with disabilities. And with the increasing shift of many public services to online platforms, it's essential that these websites are accessible to all.
A great step forward, Costa, but what's RNIB's reaction to this change?
Well, we hope that the new regulations will finally make local authorities and other public services sit up and address the needs of disabled people using their websites. They will also be required to publish an accessibility statement that explains how accessible the website is and who to contact if a user experiences difficulty. Public sector websites can avoid complying with the regulations if doing so would represent what's called a disproportionate burden, but they would need to give good reasons why that is the case. There are some exemptions to the regulations, for example, for schools and public broadcaster websites, or when a certain type of content is being used, like live media or maps. But even here, it's likely that the Equality Act will still apply. When it comes to apps on mobile phones, public sector providers are also covered by the new accessibility regulations, but providers have an additional year here until September 2021 to comply.
Some exemptions here as well, but what should people do then if they do come across problems with access?
Then the first step is to contact the website provider. Give as much detail as possible about the problem you've encountered, including details of the web page where it occurred. Include what type of computer or mobile device you're using and the assistive technology software you use. Mention the Equality Act and the new public sector website regulations if it's a public sector website, and ask the provider to make the necessary changes to their website and to provide a reasonable timescale for doing so. If they resolve the issue, then good. But if not, it shows you've given them the opportunity to make the changes, and any response you get from the provider can be helpful to refer to if you take your complaint further. If you've done that, please do get in touch with our RNIB Site Loss Advice Service to let us know.
So if people would like information, Costa, what's the best way to do that?
Well, first of all, if you'd like to add your voice to our call on the government to tackle delayed and cancelled iHealth appointments, you can send our action email to your MP. If you need any support to do this, please call our helpline or drop us an email and say that you'd like to support our iHealth campaign action. If you don't use email, we can print a letter and send it to your MP on your behalf. And of course, when our upcoming toolkit to challenge inaccessible websites is available, you'll be able to find it on our website, or you can get in touch to ask us for a copy. You can contact us by calling 0303 123 9999, email us at campaigns@rnib.org.uk, or visit the campaign section of our website at www.rnib.org.uk/campaigns.
Another packed update as well. Thanks for the moment then to Costa and to Zoe for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much.